You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am your co-host, the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me as always, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, my man?
What's up? I'm tired. We were just talking about that. Slept about 3 hours after our show yesterday and then went to SmackDown Live, recorded a show, and it was fun show. I always have fun at shows. It was the whole idea that it still was my first show after All In. So I walk in and I come up a few minutes, and we were there about 15 minutes, and I'm looking around, and I honestly could say, I was like, man, this is probably the longest I've been at a wrestling show in years without seeing a Bullet Club shirt. I hadn't seen one yet, and it was kind of weird because, you know, we were at All In, and you know, that's all there was, a Bullet Club shirt. So it was definitely a less than educated crowd, but they seemed like, I don't know how it played on TV, and we'll talk about that tomorrow after you get a chance to watch it. I don't know how it played on TV, but it seemed like it was a lively crowd.
Really? And did you, yeah. I know, I'm sure this is probably a dumb question, because I know you had to have eventually seen one, right? A Bullet Club shirt?
Oh yeah, we saw one.
Okay.
we saw a Cody shirt and a Kenny Omega shirt, but there wasn't a lot.
Really? So, that's surprising.
Yeah, and it was just, well, like I said, if I had to tell you, just based on some of the comments we heard, like I said, it wasn't like the most hardcore crowd. A lot of people, oh, WWE is coming to town, so I'm going to the show. You know, that kind of thing.
Not SmackDown.
Yeah, so.
I know what you mean, though. Like,
WWE will always be number one. You know?
Yeah. Not necessarily fans, just people that want the experience, like, hey, it's WWF. I'm sure there were some people there that maybe called it WWF still, or, you know, people that stopped watching when The Rock left or something like that.
Yeah, and it was like, and that was a lot of things. I saw a lot of shirts that were, you know, not even close to the current shirts. They were like really old versions of like the Miz's and really old versions. It was like, if I had to say, it was like not necessarily out of touch crowd, but it was just ones that don't keep up with the everyday product. But it actually made them, it seemed like it was more energetic. Like they recorded 205 Live before SmackDown, and that was probably the most pumped outside of like WrestleMania weekend I'd seen for a 205 Live show.
Really?
Yeah, just because instead of being that I just watched 2 hours of SmackDown crowd, it was the, man, I can't wait for wrestling to start crowd.
I got you.
So, after I watched that, I was like, why haven't they been recording 205 Live before the show the whole time?
Right. After hearing what you said, that makes the most logical sense. And if you really think about it, if you're having a problem with getting people to stay and be pumped for 205 Live, you should be doing it before SmackDown and getting everyone before they're too sauced or getting people, you know, before they're burnt out after 2 hours of wrestling and do it that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that. Like you said, we'll talk about that in full tomorrow. We'll run down SmackDown. I know we're normally, or we're a day behind what Floyd and I normally do, but I had to take off. We had to take off from the show on Monday. I was recovering from my late Sunday night show. It looks like going forward, my home promotion, Heroes of Wrestling in Roy City, Texas, we will start having a 5 p.m. bell time on Sundays instead of 6 p.m. So that could put me home as early as 1 a.m. So I might we might reassess being able to do the Monday show following nights that I have a show in Roy City. Which I hope, we can make happen, because the last two Mondays, have been some of my favorite shows, because we kind of got this new format that you and I kind of created, and are still kind of redefining, but it's like this week in WWE, and we just go down a list of topics, of things that happened, or even, we might even branch it out to this week in wrestling, because I know one of the things that we were going to talk about this coming Monday was Bound for Glory selling out and stuff like that. So Mondays is some of the my most favorite shows preparing for and recording. So I really hope to not miss any of those in the future.
Yeah, I definitely love Mondays, and big shout out to Impact Wrestling on selling out that show. I mean, it feels like you can sell out wrestling shows in New York no matter what, but that's still a big accomplishment, because pretty much everyone thought they were dead a year ago. Like, that's not hyperbole. Everyone thought they were actually going to close their doors last year.
Yep.
But yeah, they figured the company that bought them would just say, you know what, you know, this isn't worth the investment, and just bounce. And they didn't. And they had them on stage, and I know they're on 2 hours every week. I know they pre-tape and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, they're building our audience again. I'm one of them. I'm one of them that they brought back.
Oh, so you are back full-time with Impact?
Yeah, I watch Impact every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
LAX and OGs brought me back. That rivalry brought me back. Austin Aries is the champion. He's a perfect champion when you're trying to build your roster. He's a heel. He's super talented. He puts on nothing but good matches. He can work with big guys. He can work with small guys. That's what I said about. That's what I said about 205. Said about 205 Live. I love Cedric as the champion right now, but if you want to build your company or build your brand, you either need a bigger name, or you need a heel as the champion.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, like I said, we'll talk about that tomorrow, because that's kind of like the part of the SmackDown thing. But, it's just one of those things. It's just, you have to, when you're building a product, you've just seen it for over years. How you build a product is ECW, Shane Douglas, strong heel champion. That's how they built their product.
Man, that was so badass when he was champion. Do you remember he got hurt? And Paul Heyman made the decision. I think some people, I would like to dig into it and see what people say, because I've seen a couple of people say that they don't think it was the right decision. I've seen one or two people say it was the right decision. But he was out for a lengthy period, and they went ahead and kept that heavyweight title on him until he came back.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And when you go to the Paul Heyman, Gabe Sapolsky School of Wrestling, I'm not going to change my title. Because until I feel it's right, until the moment was right. When Taz choked out Shane Douglas and finally won that title, it was the right moment. You got the right pop. It was time.
Yeah, I would love to dig in to that more with you. And I would also like to... maybe this week, if you want to, we can review Impact. It comes on Thursday nights, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe we can review it Friday. I got it set to record at the house already. I can watch it Friday morning before we start the show. I get up at, you know, 4, I think my alarm is, I've kind of moved it around the last few weeks, but I think it's set at like 4:18, so we can definitely see about Impact and do some comparisons on Impact versus WWE. And not talking about our comparison won't be which is better, but more so if Impact is a worthy alternative. Is it giving us something different, or is it a watered down WWE?
So, no, yeah, let me just say that it is definitely different. It okay, is adult. Cool. It is an adult show.
It is not
a show that I honestly, you know, I would just be like, I wouldn't put my 5-year-old kid in front of the show.
Oh, okay, you know? Okay.
Yeah, it is. They definitely play up. Like, you know, like a few weeks ago, they had this thing where it was like, I mean, LAX versus OGs is a gang war. It is literally a gang war, and a kid got ran over in a car in one of.
Wow.
Like when they were doing one of their clips or whatever, a kid got ran over by a car. This is not for children.
Wow.
They have drawn the line in the sand, and they're like, okay, everything WWE is, we're going to be opposite of that.
Wow, okay. Yeah, let's definitely jump on that and record. We can record that Friday morning. We'll do a review, and, you know, we can kind of, it'll be kind of like Jordan the Sly One is getting into Impact for the first time, because I've never watched Impact on a regular basis ever. So yeah, I would love to get into it with you.
I would imagine a lot of people, I mean, like I did, like I said, I did when it was hot, and you know, going back to how you built your company, they built it with Jeff Jarrett on top as the heel. He was a heel. He was an asshole.
Oh, so he was a heel.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh,
he
wow.
was a heel. And it was just like when he made the change to AJ, they did it, and then it was like, okay, this isn't right, and they went back to him. And I think the big one was when they did Christian Cage, you know. But you know, the company was hot, and it was just, I felt a lot of it was because of Jarrett's presence, as he was a consistent wrestler, he was a good wrestler, and a heel champion. And a lot of people like, well, he's just putting a belt on himself because, you know, it's his company. But you know, no, you mean you do what's necessary, you know,
right.
You're building a company. You can't have your world champion not no-show. You have your world champion no-show. The only way you can guarantee that you know your champion's going to show is if you're the champion.
And, you know, he, when it comes to that kind of booking, he learned from the best in Jerry the King Lawler, right?
Yeah, and you look at it. Impact started as a weekly pay-per-view thing, and it's still around, you know? It has been a company longer than WCW was a company.
Wow.
So, it's like, as much as you want to throw shots at Jeff Jarrett and he doesn't run a company, it's still there. I mean, can you say that about ECW? Can you say that about WCW? You know, you can't say that. Evolve, great wrestling product, but it's basically a sub-category of WWE now. Their main booker and owner works for the WWE.
Who's that?
Gabe Sapolsky.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I knew that Gabe Sapolsky was there, but I didn't realize he had an affiliation with WWE. I guess it makes sense that I knew he was. I guess you taught me that he was friends with Triple H, because if that's how they were able to sign Matt Riddle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he got a New Japan email, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then 30 minutes later, he had a deal to go to the Performance Center.
Right, right. Okay,
so it's,
cool.
It's crazy. And like I said, it's just one of those things. It's just like all these companies, you know, you either become a rival of the WWE or you get swallowed up by them. I mean, as much as Progress is independent, a lot of their stuff depends on the WWE.
Makes sense. Makes sense. We'll definitely dive into that more come Friday, because I would love to learn some more about that. So I'll have a whole host of questions for you on Impact and some of these other close indie promotions to see if they lean more towards Impact style, WWE style, if you think, which you've already pretty much answered this one, but I'll have you go into detail in if you think Impact is a big-time alternative or more in line with the WWE. So that'll be a fun show. So definitely tune in Friday, guys, for that as we dive into Impact together for the first time. But today we are here to review Raw is War. Actually, not the worst show ever. In my opinion, I didn't think this one was too bad considering I thought Hell in a Cell was a bit of a miss to kind of put it nicely. What did you think of Raw this week? What did you grade it? What was your personal thoughts about it?
Okay, this is my little raw blurb that I put up after I got through watching the show. Solid fallout from Hell in a Cell. The show was paced well. We got good in-ring action and some good storytelling. I thought this Leo Rush, Bobby Lashley thing was dumb at first. Now it works for me. I give Raw a solid B.
I like it. And I would agree with that. I would agree with that wholeheartedly, my friend. I thought it wasn't bad. And you mentioned Leo Rush. You said that was stupid at first, but now you've come to like it.
Let me say, it was, I do, you know, the initial reaction, they had Leo Rush show up while Bobby Lashley was working out, and I thought it was going to be like Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush having some kind of beef, and I'm just like, that makes no sense, you know, right. And then I was like, oh, so he's going to kind of be Bobby Lashley's mouthpiece, which is what, if you remember that show when Bobby Lashley got introduced, when I was, you know, doing it once a week or whatever, I said he needs someone to talk for him because his voice sounds annoying.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
They got someone with a kind of a more annoying voice, which is kind of hilarious to me. But still, they got him a mouthpiece. They got him somebody with more charisma. It's like he's the worker, and this guy's the charisma. It worked in Impact because MVP did most of the talking for Lashley at first. And then, you know, that's how Lashley's character built up. So if they want to do this with Leo Rush, I think Leo Rush is a good voice. And he gets Leo Rush's face out there for people that would not be generally be familiar with him. So you saw, and we'll talk about it in a second, but it just makes him more of a household name.
I see. I think that's a valid point. I have very little. Actually, I know who Leo Rush is. But I had, when he was still on the indie scene, he was in ROH and Impact for a while, correct?
He was in ROH, I don't think Impact, he never worked Impact.
Okay, but he was in ROH, but I wasn't watching ROH at the time, and then I guess he was in NXT for a while?
Yes, definitely in NXT.
And I wasn't watching NXT. I wasn't watching NXT at that time, and then I have never watched 205 Live consistently. So even though I've read nothing but good reviews about this guy online, I've never really watched him too much. So
he's a phenom.
Yeah, and there's got to be a million more like me watching Raw every week, right, that are either not into NXT or just now getting into it, don't watch 205 Live, so have little exposure to Leo Rush. We're getting to see his face and hear his voice now. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Leo Rush being on Raw, all I was saying is that's the most people that have ever seen him, period.
Right.
Like, his followers probably went up about 10,000 because you got to see what he can do, and dude's crazy athletic and crazy fast, and he has a lot of amount of charisma.
Uh-huh.
So everything about him is, you know, screams, everything about him screams star. It's just no one knows who he is right now.
I like it. If he was 6'5", he'd probably already be world champion.
6'5", yeah. I'd say if he was 6 foot, he'd at least be in a main event of a takeover. He would have probably been who was Ricochet wrestled first, because he's basically a 5'5" Ricochet. That's right. How good he is.
Yeah, he's the couple of matches that I've seen him, he's been pretty, or the match really that I watched and knew who he was. I watched I can't remember who he wrestled now, but it was awesome. And then now to hear him talk this past week, he referred to him, "I'm the 23-year-old piece of gold." I thought that was absolutely awesome. But like you said,
he won't be able to say that in like 2 months. But hey, he's riding it for now.
Excuse me. If anybody that doesn't follow me on social media, I've got some kind of crud, bronchitis or something like that. So please forgive me if I cough a little bit or if I sound like I'm stuffed up or anything like that. But the show must go on. So that's what I told. That's what I told Floyd here before we went on the air. So just so everybody knows, I got a little sickness, got a little chest and nasal thing, but I'll live. But anyway, let's get to Raw, shall we?
Let's get to Raw.
All right. So we start off with Michael Cole saying my favorite Michael Cole line. "It's the big dog." God, I hate when he says that. It's so, it just sounds so dumb.
Vince McMahon loves it, though.
He does, doesn't he? Real quick, Dave Meltzer said on the last Wrestling Observer Radio that he is serious when he tells people that Vince McMahon's memory and mind is slipping, he feels like.
Really?
That's what he said. Reigns grabs the microphone. He says that Hell in a Cell was rough, brutal, and didn't go to plan, but he's still the Universal Champion. He didn't think Brock would arrive and attack everyone like he did. And if he wants his rematch, to come out here right now. Strowman actually shows up. Braun shows up. He says Reigns should thank Brock because he's the reason that Reigns is still champion. Braun says he gets Brock first and will then come for Reigns. Constable Corbin, actually acting general manager, Baron Corbin. I'm saluting. Y'all can't see. This is radio, but choo, saluting Baron Corbin. Arrives and said, "This isn't happening right now, boys. That's not the plan." Last night was his first pay-per-view as acting GM, and no one is more upset about the main event than he is. So, on November 2nd in Saudi Arabia, this will be on the WWE Network, I presume, Reigns will defend against Braun Strowman and Brock in a triple threat. So we get a triple threat announcement on Raw. And I want to talk about this Saudi Arabia show for a second. So, actually, no, I don't. We're going to save that for Monday. Monday, we're going to talk about Saudi. I got that. I just now looked over and I got it on my list of things that we got to talk about on Monday. I've got some questions that I want to ask you about the finances of the Saudi Arabia show. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
So I'd love to pick your brain about that and see what you know, see what you don't know, and you and I get to the bottom of it, because there's some unbelievable numbers being thrown around online, bro.
I mean, I've heard $20 million a show.
Yeah. Yeah, I've we'll talk about it on the show, but yeah, I've heard some similar stuff. And when I say heard, I mean read. You know what I mean? Like I don't have Vince on speed dial, and he's telling me this stuff. You know, not yet. Braun said the funniest line of the segment. He said, "I think you suck. I think you suck. I think this situation sucks. I think everyone in this arena sucks."
And he got cheered for that.
Yeah, he got cheered for it. Ladies and gentlemen. Next we get Paul Heyman coming out. And I love this, man. He has the gate to hell that Brock Lesnar kicked in, brought out, and propped up beside him. What did you think of that? Before we go anywhere else, what did you think of that gate to hell being brought out with Paul Heyman?
I thought it was a great touch. I don't know who thought of it, but perfect touch.
That seems like something to me that, Paul would have pushed. If it wasn't already an idea, Paul would have been like, oh, yeah, this has got to come out with me. This is great.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I thought it was awesome. He talks about Brock's power and worth to WWE and the UFC. He starts, you know, he doesn't throw out specific numbers, but he says that, you know, he could get more money when he wins the UFC title if he's holding that title. He says that that title equals power, talking about the WWE Universal title. He said during Brock's reign, there's been billion-dollar TV deals and record-setting stock prices. Brock will return and reclaim his championship to become the crown jewel of the WWE. He had to throw that crown jewel in there because apparently the crown jewel is the name of the November 2nd show in Saudi Arabia, correct?
Correct.
And so he had to throw that little crown jewel in there.
Definitely.
I don't know if crown jewel is just the name of the show
it's the name of the show. And they're actually having a World Cup type tournament where it's supposed to determine the best wrestler in the world, and he's going to win the crown jewel.
So kind of like how they give the green world title to Braun. It's going to be something similar to that.
Yes.
Something that it separates it from a house show, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I feel like something's going to eventually happen at one of these shows because they, you know, the rumors are they pay so much for these shows, so they're not just going to want to keep getting, you know. But it's if they even know. I honestly can say the government that's doing this probably doesn't even know.
Right. Yeah.
If the show matters.
Yeah, I don't know how many of them is watching on a regular basis, you know.
Yeah.
I also read a rumor that when they initially contacted WWE, they were asking for a whole bunch of old school wrestlers, you know, because from when it was popular, I guess, in the Attitude Era in the decade before, you know.
Yeah, the specific person I remember hearing is Yokozuna.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
And there was an ass for The Undertaker, Yokozuna, and another person that was dead. And I don't remember the other person.
Yeah.
So, like, two of the three people that they wanted were not alive.
Yeah. So that really goes to show, like, how much the people in Saudi Arabia that are signing the checks really watch it, right?
Yeah. And I was going to point out, it seems like they were doing these two shows a month, right? The split brand shows, and they went down to one brand. And you're like, okay, we're getting less shows. No, they're just selling shows to different countries.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, we just got this pay-per-view, right?
Right.
2 weeks. 2 weeks, we got Super Show, right? Then Super Showdown or whatever. And then basically at the end of that month, I think there's another pay-per-view. I don't think there's another pay-per-view. We get Super Showdown, then we get Evolution, then we get the Crown Jewel show, all like within a month.
Yeah, and we will talk more about the impact, or not so much the impact, but the what it looks like to people like you and I, and maybe to the rest of the world, of having a Saudi Arabia show, 4 days after they have a women's only show.
And they're struggling, and if you notice by this, they're struggling to build up all of these shows.
Are they?
You know, just think about it. It's like you'll go a couple weeks without hearing Evolution. Oh, I have to start building up this Saudi Arabia show. We haven't even had the Australian show or Evolution yet.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, they only got so much marketing, only so much marketing ability, right?
Yeah, and how are you going to get me excited about a title defense at Crown Jewel? Are you saying Roman Reigns is not going to defend the title until then?
Yeah, and you can't keep pushing for, I see what you're saying, like you can't be pushing for if you're pushing that Roman Reigns is going to be defending this title in Saudi Arabia, then you're basically telling me that he's for sure a lock to be the winner in Australia, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, in Australia, no. In Australia, they did do that smart. Romans, it's the Shield versus the Dogs of War at Australia.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
He's not defending this title. But I'm just saying, that's in November. So are you saying he's not... You basically told me he's not losing his title until at least November.
Right.
So even if you announce a match on Raw the next few weeks, I'm not going to believe Roman Reigns has a shot at losing.
Shameful.
Which is a part of wrestling. Yep. I have to believe either person can win.
Yeah. Otherwise, you got to be able to tell the story. Like, if we know the ending, the story's not as compelling.
Yeah, because they announced that match, and then he was like, oh, he has a world title match against Baron Corbin. Corbin's not winning this match.
Right. Yeah, just finished that little part up. Baron calls Reigns, and he says he's banged up and calls him a hurting puppy. He books him in a match against Baron Corbin. So tonight's main event will be Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns. I did write on here that, as I was taking all these notes, I wrote in here, I thought this was a decent opening segment. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
I did have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is there more anyone in the WWE better cast or more perfectly cast than Baron Corbin is in this position?
Oh, no. I think he is great for this position. I think he comes off as a douchebag,
like,
no matter
like
what.
A raging dick. There is nothing. It's like, if you say, oh, I love how Baron Corbin's acting, I'm like, you're kind of a dick, aren't you? Because even me, who loves heels, he's such an over-the-top heel. There is nothing really likable about his character.
Exactly. He has no redeeming qualities about him whatsoever.
Yeah. He is like in a world, in a wrestling where heels and faces kind of don't exist anymore. He's a heel.
Yes.
He's like, there's no question. He's a heel.
Can you imagine him ever being a successful babyface? Because I cannot at all.
Because he has that resting douche face.
He does, doesn't he?
like his face comes off as... I am better than you.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when he was on commentary one time, and he and The Miz both were, and The Miz was just laying him down, and all Corbin could do was just kind of talk about his accolades, and he was like, only 0.1% can make it into the NFL like I have. I've been in the NFL. And I remember The Miz going, oh, yeah, well, even... 0.1% of that can be world champion in the WWE, and I've done that. And, it was just, they were going back and forth. It was hilarious. But,
yes.
But, yeah, Corbin is his character, and that probably is a little bit of himself in real life, too, is a good, shameless self-promoter. You know what I mean? He thinks very highly of himself and comes off as really douchey. So, yeah, I think he is cast perfectly for the role that he's in right now. We get Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre for the first match of the night, and McIntyre goes over on Dean Ambrose. He wins in 11 minutes and 20 seconds. Dude, I thought this was a great back-and-forth opener, and guess what? There was a clean finish! A clean finish!
I was pointing out, Drew, and did I point, we didn't have a show yesterday, so okay. Or did we did?
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre hasn't been pinned.
Yeah, you pointed that out yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
And it was just like, and then, so how many times do people get clean victories over the Shield, over members of the Shield?
Not many.
Yeah, and one thing they've done about with this feud has they have really pushed that the Dogs of War are even with the Shield. Like, it wasn't Dolph and Drew beat Dean and Seth on Sunday.
Right.
Drew McIntyre beat Dean on Monday. In a lot of ways, they're really driving home the fact that the Dogs of War are actual competition for the Shield. The Shield isn't coming out on top every time.
Yeah, yeah, they're, like you just said, it's going, it. I don't know, I'd have to look at all the matches to know if it's true 50-50 on going back and forth, but actually the Dogs of War, it's probably better in the Dogs of War's favor on win percentage, yeah, because they're going over quite a bit, and I think that is freaking awesome, because, I mean, they're showing that they're equals.
Yeah, and that's what I was like. It's like when you're trying to build up, when you're building up a competitor, you have to build them up a serious threat. So you had the Roman being the champion, and you had the Shield building back together. You had to give them a serious threat, or it gets boring. And they have done a really good job with the Dogs of War.
Absolutely, they have. Yeah, I agree 100%. Next, we see McIntyre meeting with Ziggler and Corbin backstage. He said the Shield isn't looking good. Corbin says he'll beat Reigns tonight, and that's two of the three. And then he convinces Ziggler that he should go after Rollins' Intercontinental Championship tonight.
Yeah.
Ziggler says, I should, but I'm not going to. Corbin says, dude, he's not even here tonight. If he doesn't show up, then I'll have to force him to relinquish the belt, and you win. And Ziggler's like, "Ooh, okay." And you see the light bulb above his head, and he says, "All right, book it." So later on that night,
Are we about to talk about the result of that now?
No, we got a few more things we're going to talk about first.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. But I was going
to
say,
hold that
this
thought.
This goes more to Baron Corbin's character once we talk about the result.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Natalya, next we see Natalya and the Bellas talking in their locker room. Ronda Rousey shows up, everyone's, you know, cordial and blah, blah, blah. Ronda Rousey says, hey, how's that open challenge thing happen? And I don't know if you've seen this, but they actually referred to the Divas champion, I think. Brie Bella said, I mean, Brie, or what is her name? Not Brie, Nikki Bella. She says, well, when I was Divas champion, did she say Divas champion or did she say when I was champion?
I think she said when I was champion.
Oh, she didn't say the Divas part?
No.
Oh, okay. That's where I was going. I thought she said the Divas thing.
Honestly, I've watched another show since then.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't remember her saying Divas, because it seems like something I would have remembered and pointed out, but she might have.
Okay. Well, she probably didn't, if you don't think she did, because I could be mistaken. I very easily could be mistaken. But anyway, I just thought she did. But at any rate, she kind of got cut off by Natty. Natty was like, oh, hold that thought. Are you really thinking about doing the open challenge? And anyway, so I thought it was, I didn't think it was a bad idea. Ronda saying, you know, I want to be a fighting champion and go out there. One thing it made me realize, and I didn't realize this in the opening segment so much, but it really made me realize it here when Ronda says that she's going to give out an open challenge. And that is that there were some people with some brutal matches at Hell in a Cell, and they're not selling any of the injuries. To a degree. Like, to me, you would think you got a prize fighter in Ronda Rousey, who's the world champion, right? She's the Raw Women's World Champion. She goes out, she beats Alexa Bliss in an 8-minute match, 7-minute match, whatever. She's got busted up ribs. You would think that she would want and be granted the night off, but she wasn't. So I don't know. It just in kayfabe, like it's hard for. What do you think the kayfabe reason is for her to be issuing an open challenge, even though her ribs are giving her fits from the night before? Just her pride.
Yeah, just her pride. She said, you go back to the statement the week before. She said, even on my worst day, I'm still the best.
Okay.
So if you take that as that statement, you have the reason she did open challenge that day.
I got you. Okay. It just, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was like, I mean, that's cool that we're, you know, for the live crowd and for myself for, you know, watching Raw and stuff, but kayfabe, I'm struggling to find a reason of why someone would come in. They should have the night off, you know? But and we see more of that whenever we get further along in the show. Dude, I wrote on here that I can't get over that we are treating the Bella twins like they're living legends. Did they just come back to be a part of the revolution or what?
I
Like,
mean,
did we necessarily need the Bellas back? I mean, you know, revolting against the boring matches that the Bella Twins and that era of Kelly Kellys and stuff is kind of why we finally got the women's revolution, was it not?
okay, so the WWE does a lot of revisionist history, and
Okay.
in their revisionist history, the Bellas started the Divas Revolution.
So what's your thought on it?
Oh no! First of all, you were right. She did say when I was Divas Champion.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, I just kind of watched the clip on YouTube
Oh,
while you
okay.
were setting up the next segment. So she said when I was Divas Champion. Second of all, Brie and Nikki mean a lot more. I mean, okay. I don't think, and this is gonna sound super snobby, I don't think you're a real fan of women's wrestling if your favorite wrestling or favorite women's wrestlers are the Bellas. I think you're a fan of reality TV
Yeah, I could see that
because
for sure.
the start of evolution to a point can be more attributed to the Divas show because it brought in a lot of people that don't necessarily watch wrestling. You
Okay,
know?
yeah, I agree.
Okay. The hashtag give Divas a chance, as far as, you know, me being part of the internet wrestling community, really didn't have anything to do with the Bellas. It was about giving AJ Lee, Paige, the other people chances.
Okay.
But the Bellas still do bring in that crossover appeal. So Nikki Bella was in the ring when that hashtag give Divas a chance started, but it was more an anti-Bellas type thing to try to give, you know, other women a chance. But of course, the WWE with their revisionist history say, oh, she was in the ring, so she started the Divas Revolution.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but Brie Bella's not good wrestler. Nikki is, when she's on, she's decent.
Right.
She is average to good, just depending on the day. Brie Bella's not good at all.
Yeah, I've always, or ever since I've been into it, I've seen Brie Bella, and I've just thought she was hot garbage as far as in-ring talent, to be honest with you.
I think Brie Bella's okay with being a personality. Nikki
Yeah.
Bella wanted to be the face of the company. She wanted to be the face of the women's division.
Yeah. And she probably was for the time for a time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think she was the longest reigning women's champion. Oh, you know, the modern day longest reigning women's champion. Nobody's gonna touch Moolah, but yeah, she broke AJ's number and then like lost the title like the next week to Charlotte.
Yeah, just
Which
a
is,
total slap in the face to the Brookses, right?
I don't know if they do that because, you know, they gave New Day the longest reigning tag team and then they lost it the next week. I just think that's just kind of something they do.
They just wanted to reset
Yeah.
the
They wanted
marks.
to focus on Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella is the longest reigning Divas champion ever.
I
You
got
know,
you.
and I was like, a lot of people, you do be like, oh, they want to do that as a slap in the face. I don't think so, because I don't think Vince McMahon at the time cared enough about the women's belt to do that.
I got you.
He just didn't care. He's like, oh, okay. Well, we can make money off of them. Cool. Let's make money. You know, because that's what Vince's bottom line is. That's what every, I mean, when you're wrestling, you're a promoter. That's what the bottom line is, make money. So,
Makes sense.
but in this situation, yes, Bellas are pushed as legends. When they decide to quit wrestling, the Bella Twins will go into the Hall of Fame. Like, first ballot, be treated like gods.
And you know, I can probably kind of see that just because everything they've done for, like, you know, bringing in and stuff. It's not like the WWE Hall of Fame, and I hate that myself for even saying this, but it's not like a true wrestling Hall of Fame.
It's the WWE Hall of Fame.
It's the WWE Hall of Fame, which is a lot of entertainment. So I can kind of see, you know, them being recognized for their contribution. But I just, as far as, like, them being, like, living legends and stuff and, you know, part of this diva or women's revolution, I'm just like, I just don't see it that way.
It's a employee retirement party. That's what it is.
That's a good way to put it. Very good way to put it.
Yeah, like when you put your 20 years at GM or at police or whatever, and they give you your watch and your plaque and you get your pension, you know, that's great. You know, that's great. And it's like, that's basically what the WWE Hall of Fame has become.
I got you.
And then they do the one celebrity to try to get eyes on the Hall of Fame. Then they do their, you know, philanthropy is the new marketing. They put the Connors Cure person in the thing. I mean, nothing about their Hall of Fame is a work, just like everything else.
Right. Makes sense. Next, we have Chad Gable versus Victor. Chad Gable still running teaming up with Bobby Roode, doing that whole thing. That thing's, that's still developing, but I guess Chad Gable was looking up to Bobby Roode as a, like a mentor? Is that how you would describe it?
Yes.
Well, Gable defeats Victor in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. Not much of a match. What'd you think?
I enjoy his finisher, the Chaos Theory. It's one of my favorite finishers ever since Doug Williams was doing it, and I really the amount of talent and everything that goes in that move, I really enjoy it. But Chad Gable's one of those people that, you know, I think he would be, like, seriously, like, one of the top indie guys if he was in the indies.
Yeah.
Because he has all the athletic ability and all everything that requires to be a star, but he's short. And that's on the indies, that doesn't matter.
Agreed. Hopefully in the next few years that changes a little bit, because Adam Cole is rather short, right?
Yeah, and I enjoy Adam Cole, but I actually lean closer to Vince.
When it comes to WWE, you mean?
When it comes to WWE product, you don't want, I mean, as much as I love Daniel Bryan, and he's the everyman, and that's his goal, but when I'm spending money on someone, I want someone I look up to. I want someone that is physically imposing.
Okay.
I don't really want to buy a ticket to somebody I'm a foot taller than. That's just me. It might have been the WWE brainwashing, because I've been watching the same product since, you know, for 37 years.
Right.
It's like, I can't, you know, when people are like, well, you've been kind of brainwashed by WWE, and I'm like, I really can't say that's not true, because I've been watching it for 37 years. It has raised me. It has probably had as much impact on my personality as my parents have.
I can see. I can understand. And just because you've spent so much time with it.
Yeah. So I was like, I mean, growing up, it was Hulk Hogan. Then Hulk Hogan, only person that could beat Hulk Hogan, really, Andre the Giant. And then, you know, then Hogan wins it back. And then Macho doesn't beat Hogan. He beats Ted DiBiase to become the champion. But, you know, and Macho wasn't small, but he wasn't, like, huge. And what happened when the huge guy fought Macho Man Randy Savage? Hogan won, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then it took the Warrior, you know, the ripped up Warrior, to finally pin Hogan clean. You know what I'm saying? It's just, for a long time, you had to be like 6'5", 300 pounds to be a legit star.
I can see it. I see your viewpoint, you know. But anyway, where was we at? Post-match. So, Connor comes in, which is Victor's, teammate, or, yeah, tag team partner in the, I'm drawing a blank. What is the name of their tag team?
Mm-hmm. The Ascension.
Yeah, Ascension. Comes in, lays out Roode and Gable. Next, we see an injured Seth Rollins. He's arriving, and he's told about his rematch with Ziggler tonight. I love Seth Rollins' acting ability. He actually made it look real to me, where he's like, "Yeah, Almighty." You know? Rollins says Corbin needs to remember that this is Monday Night Rollins. You think a match between Seth Rollins and Adam Cole would be awesome?
I think, honestly, it's Seth Rollins. Adam Cole and Seth Rollins are both great wrestlers, so I have no reason to believe that it wouldn't be like the best thing ever.
What style of wrestling would you say that Adam Cole has? Is he, because he doesn't do a lot of high risk maneuvers, does he?
Oh yeah, no, he's very much 80s conservative style with like a new age type of. He's basically, they were talking about these type of wrestlers on WrestleNomics this weekend. Adam Cole is about everything he does in between the moves.
Really?
You know, like about talking. He's about, you know, the selling, the everything that happens in between the moves. That's his focus. His character work. I mean, he's a good wrestler. He's a great wrestler, but he's even better at the actual character work that he does. He awesome. Talks crap, he's being this cocky asshole the whole time he's wrestling.
Now, they were talking about it on WrestleNomics?
Yeah, because they were talking about how Crusher Blackwell, and I think, Ricky Choshu, Dusty Rhodes, Michael Hayes, people that it wasn't about the moves that they did. Like when
it was,
you talk about
it was
Dusty,
a lot of character work.
Yeah, like you talk about Dusty. Most people do the "if you will," and then you'll if see them will. Do the little hand thing, and then you'd see them spin their arms and do the elbow. No one talks about Dusty Rhodes doing a hell of a pile driver or anything like that. They talk about all the character work that made Dusty Rhodes who he was.
Oh, I see. Was this behind the paywall? Do you pay for the extra show, or
no,
was this
was
the regular?
No, this was on the free show, but they didn't bring up Dusty. They brought up Michael Hayes, Crusher Blackwell, and Ricky Choshu. But when they were talking about it, the first person I thought of was Dusty Rhodes.
Gotcha. So like an 80s conservative style with like some new age flash in there. Would that be a good way to put it?
Yeah, like Adam Cole could wrestle his style until he's 60.
Yeah, okay. See, and I'm not trying to talk about myself, but I've told you about this so many times, but I'm just so excited. Like that's what I want to build myself and my character into, is this 80s conservative, you know, Miz, Adam Cole, Ric Flair style, where it's a lot of character work mixed in with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
does that make sense at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes a long career. And when you're starting late, you know, you're going to want to squeeze the 10, I mean, 5 or more years out of a career, if you're definitely going to work. So if you want to squeeze, and the best way to do that is conservative. I mean, even DDP, he wrestled a really conservative style and he still hurt his neck. You know what I mean? It's just you have to, going in with that idea, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll talk more about that as soon as the quicker I get back into the academy. I've had to take some time off because of my ankle. I've been in a boot for a long time. I finally got to take it off right before we went to StarCast, but I still have a lot of tenderness and stuff, so I've had to sit out a little bit more. But if everything goes well, either next Tuesday or next Thursday, I will be back inside the squared circle, so I absolutely cannot wait. But anyway, back to Raw, shall we? Next, we get the Dead Man Talking. Dong. How many times have you seen The Undertaker live?
Too many to count, where the entrance means nothing to me anymore.
Oh, man. Like, you just stabbed me in the heart. Oh, like, how could you say that?
Oh, you remember WrestleMania? WrestleMania, I was like, I love The Undertaker's entrance because it allowed me to go to the bathroom and get back.
Yeah, yeah.
And he still hadn't got to the ring yet. it just seriously, I mean, let's see. You know, I've seen it with the Lightning. They had the caskets laid across the ring. They had the Druids. They had the fire. I mean, I've seen all the big entrances of The Undertaker. And it's like, now he's just walking out there. And, seriously, I think when I was at work watching it, I seriously went to the bathroom and came back.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, when all the theatrics and all the stuff is added into his entrance, it's amazing. But when it's just literally him walking to the ring, doesn't do anything for me anymore.
I can understand that. Dead Man, he said the coolest line of the night for me. He said there was a time when Triple H was a warrior, but now he plays the corporate game in the boardroom. I thought that was really cool, character to character. Character Undertaker to character Triple H. So you knew what I meant, right?
Yeah.
I really thought that was really cool. I thought that he missed a really cool opportunity to call him Hunter here. You know, like, you know, he's coming for your soul, but he doesn't call you by your nickname. You know, he calls you, I'm going to put you down, Hunter. You know what I mean? I thought he missed a good spot, you know?
If you wanted to go back to the Attitude Era, if he would have said, I'm not afraid of Triple H because Triple H doesn't exist anymore. Now there's just Paul.
Yeah, yeah. He could have said that too, referring to Paul Levesque, his shoot name.
Yeah, just say there's just Paul, but you know, Taker protects the business.
Yeah, true that. So true that.
He's never gonna just completely bury you. Yeah. I honestly, I'm one of those people. I think they've spent way too much time building up this match.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know if Australia was begging for this match or if this is.
They definitely, I mean, Undertaker had to be on their list.
Right, yeah. I figured they was, that he was, rather. But I didn't know if so much time is being spent on this. I assume it's going to be the main event in Melbourne, Australia. Isn't that how you say it, Melbourne?
Yes.
I figured this is going to be the main event, but I did not, I kind of wondered if... this was Vince pushing it hard, or because the affiliates in Australia wouldn't have no authority over, you know, what they do on their Raw and SmackDown shows for them to be building this up. The only other thing I can think is they think that it might sell tickets in Australia or get more people to watch it on the network, or it could be Triple H with his ego thinking, hey, we just need to remind everybody that it's me. I'm in the main event. I don't know.
Triple H and Undertaker are a draw in Australia because they haven't seen Triple H and Undertaker wrestle 100 times. This is their first live pay-per-view. You know what I mean? This is a big event. This is, you know, all the theatrics and everything that goes into a big event. This is their first one. So there's a lot of people that I would say are going to the event that haven't watched wrestling since Triple H and The Undertaker were on top.
I got you. I got you. Makes sense. Undertaker does reveal that HBK will be in Triple H's corner for the match, and so to even the odds, he's bringing his brother Kane. Mayor Kane will be in Australia. So that'll be a fun time, seeing the Brothers of Destruction reunite. So you just think about... the main event is going to be Triple H with Shawn Michaels in his corner versus The Undertaker with Kane in his corner. So that's basically four people coming out of retirement for a match in the main event.
Well, I can say Kane has never retired.
But, I mean, well, Triple H has never actually retired either.
Yeah, Triple H is going to retire.
No.
He's going to always be... When he works out, He's like, you don't, he's like, you stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yeah.
He works out just like he's working every day.
Right, right. But, you know, that sweet Saudi money was talking to get these four guys out there for the main event.
This was sweet Australia money.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the sweet Saudi money would be the potential rumor that Michaels is coming out of retirement to work a match in Australia. So I guess we'll see if that happens, though.
I mean, it would be. I mean, it's smart. I'm like, dude. You know, think about the again. I've stated this before. The largest gate ever for WrestleMania was Dallas. 100,000 people, and they made $4.8 million at that gate.
Yeah,
$20 million show is four times that.
Yeah,
like four and a half times that.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
Yeah, money does talk. I mean, you could, you could, they could very well be paying Shawn Michaels, you know, $750,000 to $1 million for this one match. Yeah.
Short of Punk, you can have anything you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that Bret Hart, whenever he was getting ready to jump over to WCW and he was working out that contract with Vince McMahon, the 20-year contract that he signed that was, you know, nullified, and then he went to WCW after he was screwed in Montreal, right? Mm-hmm. He says at that time, Vince told him that Taker and Shawn Michaels were the two highest paid guys on the payroll, and they're both making $750 a year. So if you think about it, that's what Shawn Michaels was making, you know, during his career. And he probably made a little bit more than that when he came back in the 2000s. But you figure he was making $750 a year for multiple years, and now they're making so much money on this one show that he could be making for one match. He could be making a year salary, if not more. That's insane. That's insane to think about. You know, why wouldn't you come out of retirement at that point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I've heard Brock's going to get $1 million for Saudi, and it's just, I'll show up for $1 million. I'll lose to James Ellsworth for $1 million. I don't care.
Right, right. Next, we see Bayley versus Dana Brooke. I mean, Dana Brooke actually looked pretty good. Obviously, Bayley looked good, but it was 2 minutes and 45 seconds. All it's going to do is make me mad if we talk about it. You know how I feel about matches that are under 3 minutes. Next, this really cool piece of tidbit information for you, my man, was AOP versus this tag team. One of them I didn't know. John Doe is his real name is Gregory. I have a lot of mutual friends with them in the promotions. But Barrett Brown was the tag team partner. He's the one that started out on the apron, right? That is actually a friend of mine. Barrett Brown, 50 Cal Barrett Brown. He's the junior NWA junior heavyweight champion of the world. He's the one that I asked you if you knew anything about him going at the 70th anniversary show. I don't know if he's been on, if he was on last time. He worked against Malico last month at the Back to School Rumble. For Heroes of Wrestling that I called. I got to call 50 Cal Barrett Brown versus Malico, and it was the match of the night. It was absolutely phenomenal. But, Barrett is a friend of mine, and it was really cool to see him on Raw. Had to shoot him a message and tell him congrats and tell him it was awesome to see him. He's the guy that I told you about, and I've talked about him multiple times on the show. He's the one that the Dudley Boys put through the table at their Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's, I think this was actually like the third time that he's been on WWE TV. So, and he has been invited 3 times now to attend the New Japan Dojo in Los Angeles, like seminars that they have. They have like invitation only, I think, or like buy invite, like so many people, they invite so many people and so many people then pay or something like that. I don't know. But he's posted pictures where of letters he's gotten where, you know, he gets invited there. And anyway, just really cool, man. He's been wrestling 9 years now, I think, is what he told me last month.
Really?
Yeah, and he looks real young, and he's phenomenal in the ring. I think, me personally, I think that it's not a if he makes it to the big time. It's more of a when he makes it to the big time for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so really cool, really cool to see him on there. But AOP absolutely destroy these two guys. What do you think about Rockstar Spud or Drake Maverick being a part of AOP now?
I'm okay with it, but I liked Paul Ellering better.
So did I, man. Paul Ellering was legit. Legit.
He just commands more respect.
Yeah, poking that Hall of Fame ring out there, knowing he was in the first ever War Games match. Being an elder statesman that was, you know, this tall leather jacket wearing guy that it'd just be someone that you would listen to.
They immediately get Legion of Doom respect because he was the manager of the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah. That's really awesome, really awesome. Next, we see the IC Championship match that we've seen earlier in the night. I put on here, I wish they would have kept these two guys off the show to sell the bump from Hell in a Cell. You know, the bump kind of feels blah now. You know what I mean? Like, you would think that these guys wouldn't even have been on the show, and they would have pointed to that. They would have talked about him and been like, man, these guys were given the night off because of injury sustained after falling 15 foot. But I mean, they just on here like it's a normal show.
Yeah, and they could have, you know, they could have done the whole hey, so because of the fall of Seth and Dolph, they're not going to be on the show. Roman's not going to be defending the title. And, you know, people that aren't usually on the show, they could have gave more of you know, a spotlight, you know, like the people like Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, the people that aren't on the show every week. They could have just did this one show that, you know, gave them more of a spotlight. But no, they just came out there like nothing had happened.
Yeah, they just gave us a couple of, I mean, these guys are world-class athletes. So, I mean, they definitely went out there and performed. You know, we're not saying that, but I mean, it's like for kayfabe reasons, they should have kept him off the show. You know,
you gotta sell the match. You gotta make the match important.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know what I mean? If y'all don't think it's important, then why would we think it's important?
Yeah, they worked the next night. It's just like, they shouldn't have worked. And this was the Seth and Dean match. Barry Corbin kind of screwed over Ziggler too.
Yeah, for putting him in the match, right?
Yeah, like he said he wasn't ready. Seth shows up, and he's like, you told me he wasn't going to show up. Yeah. Well, he's kind of hurt. Well, yeah, I fell through the same damn table. So he just, like, that's how unredeemable he is. He even screwed over the quote-unquote heel.
Yeah. That's a good point. I really didn't even think of it that way. You know, like, yeah, that's how just non-cool of a character he is.
Yes, like, he was screwed over the heel. Right. I didn't just screw over the face, I screwed over the heel too.
Right, right.
He was clearly saying, I'm not ready to fight him. And he's like, oh yeah, and he talks him into it. And then he's like, oh, he's here. And of course, Baron, super powerful, could have said, oh, he showed up. Well, I'm just going to let you go ahead and cancel, pull out the match and, you know, do it another time. Nope, you're still wrestling.
So they go 9 minutes and 40 seconds. And I put on here, it wasn't bad, all things considered. They obviously didn't go all out, but you know, it's got to be appreciated that they did work. But again, I feel like the bump from the night before was just useless now, because they were selling injuries in the match, but I mean, that's a big enough bump that, you know, you sell going to the hospital and getting checked out, and then you take a day or two off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
and they didn't do that. So, next we see the open challenge from Ronda Rousey. She gives a pretty good promo. I think her promo, her promos are getting better. She congratulates Alexa Bliss for putting up a hell of a fight. She says, "I want to be a fighting champion. I want to be a great champion like Bret Hart, like Steve Austin, like Ric Flair." All three names get pops. When she issues the open challenge, Natalya's music hits, and she kind of smiles, and Michael Cole says, "All right, we're going to see a friendly rivalry between friends." Natalya never shows up, and then all of a sudden, all three members of the Riot Squad make their, round the corner of the entrance, dragging a passed out Natalya. They beat Natalya down, drag her lifeless body out there, and they hit the ring, and all three of them start beating up on Ronda. She puts up a fight for a little bit. She loses the numbers game, and then out come the Bella Twins to save the day and to clear the ring. It's just like, the Bella Twins? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, they have pushed them as badasses, and it's just like one of those things. It's like, how I said you have to accept that Roman's cast in a major role?
Right.
You just got to accept that the Bella Twins are going to be looked at as legends.
Yeah, I don't want to accept it, Floyd. I don't want to.
It's just, in the eyes of the WWE, the Bella Twins are legends.
I'm
not going to go hyperbolic on it and say like, oh, it's sickening. It's annoying.
Right.
That you have the Bella Twins are pushed as more important to the women's division than Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah.
Like, not even close.
That's horrible, isn't it? You got two of the best female workers in the world, and they've taken a back seat. Not just a back seat, they're on the back of the damn bus to the Bella Twins.
They're more important than Asuka.
Oh, God.
But if you look at the WWE of how they push, right now it's Ronda, Charlotte, probably Alexa at three, then the Bella Twins.
That's horrible.
As far as TV time, Brie Bella is not only in the Daniel Bryan thing, she was also on Raw. She's been on both shows the last 3 weeks.
That's silly. That is absolutely silly.
Yeah, it's just like she's been on both shows. Total Divas starts Thursday, man. Or Wednesday or whatever day it comes on. I really don't know. But I know it starts this week, and of course, they're going to, this is why you should be watching Total Divas.
Yeah.
Paige is back. The Bella Twins are wrestling again. It's all this stuff. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. Like I said, when the Bella Twins were away, I did not miss them. But I know a ton of women not like Twitter and all that stuff. Are all about the Bellas. All about them. Like, love the Bellas.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's all, I don't like it. It's like one of those things. Certain things you have to accept.
Yeah. Well, next we see Braun meets with Corbin and says he hopes he wins tonight because Corbin sucks and he knows he can kill him. Right as they go to a commercial, I love how the TV that us watching on TV, the last thing we hear after all the commentary and everything is over is a single note from Elias. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
When they come back from the commercial, he plays to the crowd. The crowd's in love with him. And then he says the Dallas Cowboys joke, and he got a long sustained boo for that Dallas Cowboys joke.
Yeah,
like it was pretty impressive how long that boo was. Leo Rush interrupts him, and Elias, oh my God, it was hilarious. He said, "Hey, whose kid is this?" I thought that was hilarious, man.
Yeah, he's like, this is irresponsible, just letting them come out on the ring. I was like, he went in, and that was hilarious. And Leo Rush is really, really small. So the funny thing with me is Leo Rush is very much a cocky heel on 205 Live, but it seems like he's going to be a face on Raw, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think they're doing the same thing with Drake Maverick, right? Just, well, opposite.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like his role on Raw hasn't really been determined because, you know, AOP aren't really heels. They're just more badasses.
Yeah, I just kind of took it. I could be way off, but yeah. Do you think that Drake Maverick is leaning more towards heel on Raw, or do you think they'll ultimately be baby faces? He is, okay.
Yeah, and like I said, I would like to see something where on 205 Live, someone's like trying to call him out, and then, you know, he brings, like, someone's trying to start crap with him, and he brings AOP in there, and they like demolish them to set the stage that now you don't have to listen to him just because he's a GM. If you don't listen to him, the AOP will destroy you.
I like it. Leo Rush introduces his man, Bobby Lashley. And then we get Lashley versus Elias. I was kind of in a hurry, so I was just kind of doing some stuff around the house while I was watching this early this morning, finishing my notes and getting them ready and stuff. And I actually stopped what I was doing to listen to Rush on commentary because he was just cracking me up so much. Like, he is just hilarious.
He's very charismatic. He's his manager. He's like, he's the epitome of what everybody hates about people who are born around 2000.
Right.
You know, like that 90s, you know, the late 90s people. I don't even know what they're called. I don't know what they're called. They're not millennials. It's whatever's next after that. And it's just, he's everything everyone hates about it. So it's like, I know he plays it up. So it's just very, very charismatic. And I love that because he's everything Bobby Lashley isn't.
Right. Yeah. I agree. So during the match, Kevin Owens kind of shows up and he decides he's going to chase Leo Rush. Leo Rush like hops over him, gets away from him somehow. He does a flip and gets out of the way of, Elias. Then Bobby Lashley saves him from a Kevin Owens apron powerbomb, and then Bobby Lashley uses him as a lawn dart, kind of, well, more of like a log, and throws him into the guys. It was all pretty cool. It's hard for me to fully describe that. You'd really have to see it, which I'm assuming that if you're listening to this, you watched Raw, so you know what I'm talking about. But it was really pretty cool, didn't you think?
Yes. He is so freakishly fast.
Yeah, looks like it.
Yeah. He is like, even in the ring, when it comes to the cruiserweights, he is faster than the cruiserweights.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that. From what I've seen, from the little that I've seen, I can so imagine that.
And it was just like, you know, like how many fans he got from just that segment? Just because, you know, someone's like, good Lord, look at how he moves.
Right.
And then, of course, the fact that he's small. So a lot of people that, you know, like the small guys, you know.
Yeah. That went 2 minutes and 55 seconds to a no contest, Lashley versus Elias, that is. They do announce, I think they it's official that Lashley and Cena are going to go against Elias and Owens at the Super Show in Australia.
Yep.
Wow. That seems, whatever.
I mean, yeah, you can't do a big show without John Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he was like, hey, give me a checklist of the wrestlers you want. And, you know, first name on the list was John Cena.
Next we see Bliss, Alexa Bliss, Alicia Fox, and Mickie James cutting a promo to set up a tag team match with Ember Moon and a mystery opponent. We come back from commercial and we find out that Ember Moon's mystery partner is Nia Jax. Nia Jax is back.
The returning Nia Jax, who returns 3 days before the start of Total Divas.
Yep.
You seeing a theme here?
Yep, yep. Where was Nia Jax?
She nursed an injury. I don't think I ever knew what it was to. I think they did a pretty good job of not disclosing what the injury was.
I got you.
But I think she's been healthy for a while now. It's just they didn't have really anything for her on the show.
Got you. So she just kind of had some time to rest up. More power to her. More power to her. Ember Moon and Nia Jax pull this one out in 5 minutes and 55 seconds. I thought this match was sloppy and disjointed, to say the least.
I'm not an Ember Moon fan, never been an Ember Moon fan, and her style doesn't, like, really, she doesn't have one that I can put in a box.
Yeah.
So I can see how it might be hard to work with her. She throws a lot of weak looking kicks. I mean, her thing is the finisher. The Eclipse is her whole gimmick. So yeah, I'm not a big Ember Moon person.
I'm not. I like Alicia Fox. I mean, she's all right, but I mean, God, she's been there like 11 or 12 years and she's still just not that great. You know?
Oh no, and that's the whole thing. They love her. They think she's like when they start training and stuff, she's like one of the people that helps with training.
Really?
They love how she works.
Well, okay. We see Baron Corbin talking to the referee, and he says, be sure and call his match down the middle.
How he's just not redeemable. He was just basically, I will fire you.
I will fire you if you don't call this down the middle. But then the ref also knows I could lose my job if he doesn't walk away heavyweight champion, too.
Yes.
I put on here, if you were upset about the finish to Hell in a Cell, we have champion Roman Reigns versus Constable Corbin on Raw. Today is your lucky day. This is like a great birthday if you're wishing for shit. Like, I just... the night before... 24 hours before your Roman Reigns, you have a Hell in a Cell match with a guy they call a monster.
And you were beating so badly that you couldn't finish the Hell in a Cell match, but you are working the next day.
Yeah. I don't get it at all. It makes no sense within the kayfabe realm of wrestling why you would have him right back out here. Like, it makes no sense. But anyway, I don't even care to talk about the match. Like, it went 16 minutes and 50 seconds in all. Roman won, and then it was restarted, and then he almost lost, and then he came back, and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, Roman Reigns wins, 16 minutes and 50 seconds. Did you rate this match by chance?
No.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't rated a match on Raw in God knows how long.
No,
Like, it's funny. I even said this. On Monday nights, we usually do a Raw thread on the club on Facebook.
Right.
It's I even put in, now Monday Night Football started, right?
Right.
I watch Monday Night Football, and then I watch Raw. I watch Raw basically taped on, like, a stream or whatever that I get. And my big thing is when somebody asked me, why am I doing that? I was like, I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Right.
Like, when I watch, when there's certain shows, like on the New Japan show, I literally have to watch a New Japan show in my mind when New Japan is on, because if I don't, I'm going to know all the results before I get to actually watch the show.
Yeah, and you don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, Raw is just like, I can kind of probably tell you the results on my own because it's the same crap every week. So until they make me feel like I'm missing something, I'm going to continue to watch it after Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And I pretty much watch wrestling, you know, in a very similar way. I watch it in the morning time the day after, because it's very, very predictable. And I feel like that's just like when Undertaker came out to address Shawn Michaels a couple of weeks ago. I feel like the WWE knows that they're very predictable, and that's why whenever they can pull a surprise, like the Undertaker showing up, that they make sure and point it out. You know what I mean? Because one of the things that he said was, Michael Cole said, no one out there in a million years would have predicted that The Undertaker was going to be on Raw tonight. You know, just something that you hear him say, and it makes you think, you know y'all are predictable, and y'all are just kind of throwing it in our faces that you pulled one over on us, you know what I mean? And I'm cool with that. Like, I wish they'd pull one over on us all the time and surprise us with people, you know? But they just...
Yeah.
You know, they don't. It's just not... I know we're worth a... You know, WWE is worth a ton of money now, but I just wish that the product would just get so much better. But what are you going to do, you know? But that is the... Roman Reigns retains his belt. It was a pretty uninspiring main event. yeah, that's it. But we're going to talk about tomorrow is all about SmackDown, which you actually got to go to live. Pretty envious. Real quick before we say our goodbyes, how was your seats good yesterday?
Oh, they were excellent. I uploaded a picture. I mean, they were seven rows off the floor, middle right. It was great seats.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome.
I point out a problem. BOK Center does not have Wi-Fi. What kind of rinky-dink arena in 2018 doesn't have Wi-Fi?
Oh, that's hot garbage, isn't it?
Yeah, because I couldn't post anything.
Right. Too many people on their cell phone.
It's that's why almost every arena, I didn't even remember the last time I'd been to an arena that didn't have Wi-Fi.
Right.
So I just, it was strange to me.
Well, and we'll talk about all that tomorrow. We'll let you get all that off your chest, and we'll talk about your first show live since All In, and I'm going to get your comparisons and to see if WWE was, how do I word this? Like, I want to know, I'm going to pick your brain about if it made it worse that All In was the last thing you seen, because it just, you see how bad WWE is, or if you had properly prepared yourself before you went. So that'll be one of the first things that we talk about tomorrow before we review the show. So but definitely going to pick your brain about that. We got some storylines that we're going to talk about that's going on in SmackDown right now that we want to talk about. So but before we go, Floyd, remind us all where you spend your weekends at, my man.
All right, first of all, last of all, I want to say happy birthday to Renee Young. So awesome that she is announcing her RAW now. Today is her birthday. And then I am on Facebook and Twitter, Round the Ring OK. So you need to go to either one. It's Around the Ring OK. You can find me Sundays around noon. The best way to find me is by going to thechairshot.com, going to the On Demand. You'll see me there every Sunday about noon. You'll see this show there every day. I've always say we're very proud to be a part of the Chair Shot, but you could also go to aroundtheringok.com we put our shows up then too. So definitely check us out. It's me and my friend Ryan the Great Aaron. He was at SmackDown with me. We're going to talk a little bit more about our experience on that Sunday and cover wrestling through the week. And our top five this week is our top five live event experiences. So that'll be something interesting to hear.
That'll be awesome. Absolutely awesome. And I was just thinking about this, Floyd. You are pretty much on the internet radio 6 days a week.
I am.
So that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, like when I talk to people like online, I'll randomly message them. I just like talking wrestling. I just love talking wrestling. That's my thing.
Yeah, dude, I think it's absolutely awesome, man. Well, Floyd, thanks again, man. I love when it's days that you and I do the show together, which is pretty much every single day, the three pillars of indie wrestling radio. Two of them are always on the air, you and I. So I hope everyone enjoyed the show today. If you have any questions or you just want to tell us how good or bad we did on today's show, don't forget you can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit me up on Instagram. You can hit the show up on Facebook. Everyone out there, for Floyd and myself, we hope y'all stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?